Appreciated the song service this morning, the humble prayers that we had with Brother Keith and Brother Randall, and I appreciate, of course, a continued interest in your prayers. I can't stand up here and try to talk to you from the Word of God without the Lord's help. For beginning this morning, I need to do a little preliminary work. Not through yet. Still not through.
Did you get him out of my yard?
Now, what are those? Rocks. Bunch of rocks, aren't they? Just rocks. Let me play with it here a minute. If you were walking along a minute ago and saw those out there in the forest, it wouldn't surprise you any, would you? Saw you out somewhere, but if you walked along and saw them stacked up, would you think anything differently about them other than they're rocks? They're rocks, but what are they once you stack them up? They become a marker, don't they? A marker, memorial of some kind. You know, I used to go with my son Reed on a lot of his scout campouts, and we'd go to some places where there'd been, you know, camping out before, and we'd go hiking out around the countryside, and you come across a place where there'll be some rocks stacked up. You know, somebody's been there before, and they've done that for a reason. We've got this type of markers all over our country. If you're out in Texas sometime in the farmlands, rural lands, you'll be out and you'll see that, and you'll know something has taken place there that somebody wants to remember. You know, we got a lot of graves in Texas that are marked that way. Back in the old days, they didn't always have markers and couldn't do memorials, and so they would mark it by stacking up rocks so that somebody would know something important has happened there or some event. It used to be used them for road signs and for directions. But we use this, we turn, take rocks and you stack them up, and they become a memorial. You know, and you look at it and you see it and you go, wonder what those rocks mean. Wonder what those stones mean. Where did we get this idea of putting together rocks like this to make a mark or a memorial? I was going to mention my, I guess it'll go back four grandfathers, great-great-great-grandfather, buried somewhere over in East Texas, and they didn't have money, and they marked it with rock memorial, and none of the family now knows where he is. He was first one to move to Texas, first Richards to move to Texas. I'm a sixth-generation Texan. And he was killed by a horse somewhere over in East Texas and over there around Nacogdoches area. And we don't know where his funeral, his gravesite is because it was marked by just simple rock memorial. Got a lot of unknown graves that are like that. Let me read to you something out of the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, you know, Joshua succeeded Moses. Moses was not allowed to lead the nation of Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The Lord let him, took him on a mountain and let him see over into Jerusalem, but I mean into the land of Judea, but he wouldn't let him cross the river. So it was up to Joshua. When Moses died, Joshua was going to lead the people across the Jordan River. At this time, the time of the year they chose to cross it, the Jordan River was flooding. It was heavy. The water was high on the banks. You couldn't cross it just by wading across it. It was too deep. We're told this story beginning in Joshua. Get over in Joshua 3, and it said they were getting ready to cross the Jordan River. And the Lord had instructed them, first of all, take, and again, remember, we've got a copy of 1.5 million people. They're going to cross the Jordan River, and it's way above its banks. And the Lord says, first of all, take the Ark of the Covenant. You know, the nation of Israel marched around with the Ark of the Covenant. Anybody that's seen any Indiana Jones movie knows what the Ark of the Covenant is. That's what contained the original Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod and an omer of the holy manna that contained that. And that was a The Lord blessed the nation of Israel when he directed them to march with this Ark of the Covenant in front of them. He told the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant and you go first. And we read here, we see in Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, and these priests, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark, as soon as it touched the water of the Jordan River, the water stopped. It says water stopped, and says the feet of the priests, when they were bare, they were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflowed its banks all the time of the harvest. And the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap far off. The waters dammed themselves up, upstream. And the priests were standing there on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed. And all the people got to cross over the Jordan River while it was dry. It had been overflowing just a few minutes earlier. And the minute that the ark hit it, it dried up. The priest stood there in the middle of the river with the Ark of the Covenant while all this nation of Israel passed across on dry ground. And all the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, this is verse 17, Joshua 3. And all the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were clean, passed over Jordan. And chapter 4, verse 2, it says, the Lord's directing to Moses, and he says, now take you 12 men, our people out of every tribe, and I want each one of those 12 men to take in that river, take 12 stones. I want you to take 12 stones, and I want you to take them with you to your campsite in the Jordan, in the promised land. It's the first time the nation of Israel had gotten to go across the river into the promised land they'd been promised. And the Lord directed Joshua, get one man from each of the 12 tribes, pick up those 12 stones out of the middle of the river, it's dry right now, and take them with you so that when we have our campsite tonight, I want you to build a memorial. I want you to build a memorial. He says over here in Joshua 4, verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? What do those stones mean? Just like we talked about, when you see those, it's the first thing you ask. Children especially will ask that. Dad, I remember this week, the scouts. What do those stones mean when they're stacked up like that? You know, and we know it means something important. He says, the children are going to ask their fathers, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, and you tell them what they mean. You tell them this is when the Lord led us across the Jordan River into the promised land that he'd promised us years earlier. You tell them what it means. You tell them about the might and the power of the Lord. Joshua, from directions from the Lord, says this is a great teaching time for the children. You teach them. They're going to ask, you teach them. Not only does it remind you what the Lord has done, it's a great teaching time for the children, and you should do it in honor and praise of the Lord. Verse 7, you shall answer them, and he says in the bottom of that, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Make a memorial of them forever. And then verse 9, it says, and then Joshua himself went down in the Jordan River while the priests were still standing there with the Ark of the Covenant on dry ground. He himself set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Joshua built a memorial of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River while it was dry. And we know now it's covered with water. The Bible tells us those are still there today. Clearly we know they would through then. I suspect they're there today. We don't see them because they're under the water. But if we knew where to go, we probably could probably still see them there now. Not only was this instructions important to the Lord, for the Lord to tell Joshua, they're repeated again later on in that same chapter, verse 21 of chapter 4 of Moses. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what means these stones? What do these stones mean? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came across the Jordan on dry ground here. In verse 24, he says, and that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, for ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Lord wanted Joshua to build a memorial, a monument. Number one, for us to remember what the Lord has done for us. Number two, so you can teach your children. And number three, so that we can worship the Lord in the mightiness of his hand forever. That's what this stone memorial was back in its day. If you go over here, what's interesting is you go over here a little further at the end of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is about to die. And he wants to make a farewell address to the people. And I'm not going to go through it. It's a great farewell address. He's warning them to serve the Lord our God. Don't serve any other gods. And he gets down here in verse 15 and he says this famous line that all of you have heard. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he goes on there and all the people promise, Joshua, don't worry. We will serve the Lord and we'll remember him. We'll do what you say. He'd warned them time and time again. Serve the Lord. Remember him. Teach him to your children. And that's what the rest of 24, then you get down to verse 26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. He wrote the book of Joshua and put it in here. And then he took a great stone and set it there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he has spoken unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. Putting you all under oath under this stone. And that's what this stone is, another big stone. It's a memorial. I want you to know it represents the covenant between you and the Lord. Joshua went on to die, and the people were left without a leader there for a while. That's what gets us into the book of Judges. Immediately go over, if you go to chapter 2 of Judges, we see the death of Joshua is recorded in chapter 2 of Judges. Verse 7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, all the current generation of Joshua, they continued serving the Lord, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Get down to verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And all the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and worshipped Balaam. And they forsook the Lord. Goes on, tells you how they forsook the Lord and served pagan gods. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them to the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them to the hands of the enemies round about, so that they could not longer stand before their enemies. And the book of Judges tells about how the people forgot the Lord. What the people did is, they had a memorial there. They had a memorial where they crossed the Jordan River, and they had this great stone where Joshua made them swear they would follow the Lord. They forgot to teach it to their children. Their generation knew, but it says, but the generation after that came along and didn't know the Lord. He said, we need a memorial, number one, to remind us that we're to serve the Lord. Number two, we need a memorial to teach our children so that they'll serve the Lord. And three, the memorials are there for us to worship the Lord. You don't worship the memorial, that'd be idolatry, but it's to remind us to worship the Lord. You know, we're a world of memorials and a nation of memorials, and I think about the various memorials we have. You know, you can go over here, let's go over here, I guess they're all this way, all the cemeteries, full of memorials, full of stone memorials. And they're there to let us know, to remind us that someone's there that we love, someone that we appreciate, or someone there we ought to know. That's why we put a memorial there, so we can mark it for a reason. Number one, so we can know who's there. So we can take our subsequent generations, I can take them out and show them my grandfather, and go out to the Anton Cemetery and show them my grandfather and my mother and father's grave on both sides of my family. So I can take my kids out there. Been a while since I've done that, but we've done that. And it's full of those markers. I don't like to think of them as where somebody's dead. I like to think of them as this stone marks somebody that's coming out. This marks a spot that's going to be opened up. Somebody's going to come out of that tomb from this spot right here someday. The Lord's promised us that. I prefer that thought here. I wish I could be there and see my loved ones come out of that grave. I mean, I'm sure maybe I'll see them one way or the other some way. But that's the way I like to think, though. Those are memorials showing where all the Lord's going to resurrect his people. We're big on memorials in this country. Go up to New York City right now, and you can see the great memorial they built to 911. it's intended there so that we remember what took place on that September 11th day. Washington, D.C. is full of memorials. I had the opportunity to live there several years, and you got the Washington Monument. So we remember our great first president. It's the tallest monument there. It's all stone. Jefferson Monument, Lincoln Memorial, and it's impressive. All Lincoln, the picture Lincoln carved with stone. You got all the memorials to the people that served in war, World War I, World War II, Korea War, Vietnam War. Vietnam War is always impressive to me because it's just a stone wall. And we don't go there to worship the wall, but we go there to remember all those people that are listed there and what they did for us. We create memorials so that we can remember all the things that we're supposed to remember. Not only in this country, we're big on that in this country. We got those from the Bible. We got those from examples like Joshua has given us here on the banks of the Jordan River. You know, you go up there to that Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., and there's people there all the time, and it's deadly quiet. It always impresses you with the solitude that people approach that, and they'll see people, and you'll see them. They've got a directory there where you can go find the name you're looking for. You'll see people go through there and look, and they'll put their name on there, or they'll trace it off, or they'll leave flowers there. It's there for memory. We do that for each other. We also remember to do that for the Lord. I know I've got some memorials and stuff that I carry around with me. When my wife and I poured a new driveway in our house, three houses ago, and of course you do new concrete, the first thing the kids want to do is get out and write and draw on the concrete. So we had a couple of little small boxes made out there, and I had my two kids press their hands and finger hands in there like you see at Hollywood and write their names on there. When we moved, I took those with me, and those are not in good shape. They're broken, but I took them again now, and I've got them there. They don't mean anything to anybody but me, but they give me great memories of what took place, and that's what memorials are supposed to do. This is not the only place we've got memorials, and let's go a little further in here, and I want to go back and point out a few of them. Go back into Genesis. We know back into Genesis, first of all, back when Abraham came, first was called out of the land of Ur and called over into the what eventually became the Promised Land. There in Genesis chapter 12, it says that when he went and worshiped the Lord, he stopped at Shechem. Shechem is where the two great mountains are, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, where the famous spot where Joshua is buried, where Joseph is buried, where Jacob's well is. All that's a famous spot. Abraham stopped there first, and he said he built an altar. Didn't tell exactly how, but the way you built altar those days was you stacked up rocks, made yourself a little altar. Also, then we have a better example in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob. Jacob was traveling through there. We're in verse chapter 28 of Jacob, and said he stopped, verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. He gathered up some stones so he could sleep, use them as a pillow. And he lay down in that place and went to sleep. We know that he had a dream that night. In the dream, he saw this great ladder that reached up into heaven. You've heard of Jacob's ladder. That's what he's talking about here in verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. He saw these angels going up and down on it. Great story in the Bible. It has a lot of sermon you can preach on that on itself. And behold, the Lord of the God stood above it, and he told who he was. I'm the Lord your God, the father of Abraham. And he made the same Abrahamic covenant to Jacob that he had made to Abraham and Isaac. But all people of the world are going to be blessed. All his people will be blessed. And we are part of that blessing that the Lord gave to Jacob that day. Gets over in verse 16. He said he woke up out of his sleep. In verse 18, and Jacob arose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put down for a pillow, P-I-L-L-O-W, and he set it up for a pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R. He had this great dream of the Lord, and the Lord gave him a great vision in it, and he took the stones he had set up as a pillow and turned it into a pillar. He stacked them up, and he poured oil on the top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel. It means house of God or abode of God. Jacob made a memorial to the Lord for the vision he gave him and the promise he gave him. He would again be the father of great people. Verse 22, and this stone which I have set for a pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, shall be God's house. He set up a memorial, again, for the same way to help remind him. Perhaps the 20 years later, if you go over here in chapter 31 of Genesis, we see that Jacob is there, and we're about 20 years later in Jacob's life, in chapter 31. Jacob has gone and married a girl named Rachel. She was the daughter of Laban. He and Laban, his father-in-law, they have a falling out here. Jacob's on the run from Laban. He's on the run chasing after him, and Laban catches up with him, and they make peace with each other. Excuse me. Chapter 31, verse 44. Jacob says, "Now therefore come thou, let us make a covenant." Let's make a commitment with each other. Let's make a peace treaty. Let's make a covenant. I and thou, me and you. And let it be for a witness between me and thee. Let's make a covenant. They didn't have any writing. They didn't do it like lawyers do and want a written contract. They said, let's do it this way. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. Stacked it up. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. Verse 48. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. He goes on down and it said, neither one of us are going to cross this heap. This is going to be the divider of our land. We're not going to cross this to do harm to the other. That's the covenant. And they made a covenant using the stacks of stone. Verse 50, if thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take otherwise besides my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness between me and thee. We're making a promise to each other. We're setting up this memorial because God knows we're making it and swearing it into him. This heap be a witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap to pillar to me for harm reasons. They used it as a memorial again to remind themselves of the promise and the covenant. Not only did they make it each other, but they made it to the Lord. Perhaps the best known memorial is over here in Samuel. Many of you know this one. Book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapters 4, 5, and 6. Samuel has to come and help out the people of Israel. They're in trouble with the Philistines, and the Philistines are really beating them in battle every time. Beating them so bad that the Israel people say, we need the ark. So they go get the ark. They don't pray for it. They don't ask for God's help. They just go get the ark and are going to kind of carry it in front of them. It's like some kind of a magic wand or a genie in the bottle. The Lord didn't bless them to do that, and the Lord didn't direct them to. They didn't pray for it. They go out into battle with that ark, and the Philistines steal the ark and take it. Now, you need to hear Brother Gale's sermon about how the Philistines were afflicted when they had that ark. They were afflicted tremendously. And he has the proper interpretation of this. He gave them all sorts of problems and rats. He also gave them hemorrhoids. Can't imagine anything more painful than that. Brother Gale preaches a wonderful sermon on that, and I hope you're blessed to hear it sometime. But anyway, the Philistines said, we don't want this thing, and they gave it back. They couldn't stand it, and they returned the ark back to them there. And Samuel says, now, let's just be a lesson to you. You need to worship the Lord and pray to him and mind him. And Samuel tells them how to defeat the Israel. He sets up an altar. He worships the Lord. He makes a sacrifice to it. And while he's making a sacrifice to it, they learn that the Philistines are approaching them to beat them again, and the Lord creates a great thunder and a noise and causes the Philistines to start running so that the Israelites can defeat them. When you do it right, when you got a battle to fight, you go to the Lord and pray that he blesses you, and when the Lord blesses you, nobody can beat you. And to prove this, and Samuel says, now, let's remember this, okay, guys? Let's remember what the Lord has done for us. Verse 12 of Samuel 7, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Sin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto the Lord has helped us. Ebenezer means stone of help. Y'all remember when we sing this song, number 25, I believe it is in the book, Come Thou Fount of Ever Blessing. It's a great Baptist song. All the Baptist denominations sing this song, and they're good at it. It's one of those we sing good. Come Thou Fount of Ever Blessing, tend my heart to sing Thy grace. Look at the second verse of that. Here I raise my Ebenezer. That's where this song gets at. It's from this verse right here. Here I raise my Ebenezer. What's he telling us? What's the songwriter telling us? And what's the Bible telling us here? You need an Ebenezer. You need a memorial. So that, number one, you remember what the Lord has done for you. You need something to remind yourself daily of all the things the Lord has done for you. You need a memorial to do that. Raise your Ebenezer. Remember what the Lord has done. Teach your children what the Lord has done for you. And use it to worship the Lord. We don't worship those memorials. That would become idols. You know, we have a thing in this country. We see a lot of this. And, you know, there's one of the most prevalent things we see are crosses. And a lot of people use a lot of crosses. And they'll put them on their walls. And they'll wear them on jewelry. And I see that. I don't begrudge that. I don't consider that idolatry so long as you're doing it for the right reason. If it's an Ebenezer and it reminds you what the Lord has done for you, gives you a reminder, and you use it to teach your children why you're wearing it, and you use it to worship the Lord, that's fine. Once you start worshiping whatever it is, that cross itself, any church building, anything, once you start worshiping that itself, then you're doing what the Israelites do, and you're into the pagan worship of idols. We should use it to remind us to worship the Lord. We should use it to remind us to teach our children. Your children are going to ask questions. They're going to say, Dad, Mom, what does that mean? Tell us what that means. Not only like Joshua here, he said, there's three reasons you should do this. Number one, remind you what the Lord has done for you. And we should use that to remind you. I've said, you know, we all need Ebenezers. I think that one of the best Ebenezers you can have is this Bible. If it's up on the shelf, you're not going to see it, and it's not going to remind you. If you set this Bible down on the coffee table, and preferably if you'll set it right on top of the remote control, then it's going to remind you, read the Bible for 5 minutes before you turn on the TV. Remember, teach your kids why you got Bibles on the coffee table and not up on the shelf gathering dust. Teach your kids why you take the Bible out in the morning and read it. This is an Ebenezer. We're not to worship this book. When you finish it, you know, I mean, you'll see one that I've got at home. I've got it marked up like the Dickens. Sometimes I see people worry, we don't mark up a Bible. It's precious. Well, it's a book. And it's a writing. Now, what it represents is great. But you ought to take it and use it. You ought to take it and use it and read it. You get much more benefit out of it when you read it. When you look at it and you say, that reminds me, I hadn't read my Bible verse for today. And you read it and your kid says, why do you read that book every day, Mom? Joshua tells us you use that opportunity to teach them because they're going to come and they're going to ask those questions. Why do y'all sing a song? Why do y'all pray? Why do we go to church on Sundays? Those are great opportunities. And when kids inquire, that's our opportunity to teach them. Go back in Deuteronomy, and the Lord gives us a great example of how we ought to, what our duties are with regard to our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, when the Lord gives after the commandments, tells us about the commandments. In verse 7, he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sit testing in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up in the morning, at night. You ought to use opportunities to teach your children. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Make a sign, make a memorial that'll remind you. Bind them on thy hand. And they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. I should get something and hang it down here so I can't help but see it all the time. You know, one of the things that my dad always had on his desk in his newspaper office for years, somebody had given it to him. It's got Elder Afton Richards on the front of it, but it's just a little plaque deal, and it's the Ten Commandments. I keep that in my office, my law office, so I can remember how I'm supposed to practice law. So if it gets out of control, I look down, and that reminds me what kind of lawyer I need to be, and not the kind that sometimes I get myself into when I get myself entangled with some lawyers who don't necessarily follow good creed and good law. You can pull in that real easy. I can, and I'm subject to that. So I keep that there to remind me. And I told my kids, why do you know that's it? I said, I keep that there for a reason. It's not just because it's my dad's. He used it and used it well, and I try to use it well. Keep it in mind. I try to use the opportunity then to teach them. You ought to always keep those things about you. He said, keep them as a frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. We use memorials, and again, we don't worship the memorials, but we should use memorials to remind us, to teach our children, and to honor the Lord. We've got a memorial out here in front of the church. You go outside the front of the church door and look around. There's a rock there that's got Brother George's name on it. We don't do that to worship Brother George. He wouldn't have that. He'd throw a fit if he knew that's what we were thinking about doing. We have that there to remember. We need to remember him. We need to remember all the people that have labored for this church. And they were laboring for this church for the Lord. We used to use it to teach our children. The Lord has blessed this church wonderfully, blessed it with some wonderful pastors. We need to remember that. We need to thank the Lord for that. And we ought to use it to worship the Lord for the way he has blessed us, in this church. We need memorials, and everybody needs more. And I encourage you to have memorials. It doesn't matter what they are. I've got some sayings on my wall that have to do with Bible quotes, things. I don't want to worship them, but you need memorials to remind you of what the Lord's done. Go over there in the book of Judges. It wasn't but one generation till you see that the people forgot completely. And that's why the Lord knows us. He knows me that I'll forget. I know me that I'll forget. So I have to put myself reminders around to remind me. I need to read the Bible of a morning before I get away from here. I need to remember to study on a regular basis because I've got a duty to this church and to the Lord to try to be prepared when called upon. We all have duties. You have a duty to make sure nothing but the truth is preached from this pulpit. You need to make sure you can't do that unless you know the truth, unless you've read the Bible and studied it. I encourage you to have memorials. We don't want idols. You don't want to worship them, but you want to use those memorials to help you learn about the Lord and help you teach them, not only for yourself, but teach them to the next generation and teach them that they need to teach the next generation, lest we fall into problems like the Israelites did. Doesn't have to do with eternal salvation. Has to do with us, our enjoyment and our security and our comfort while we're here on this earth. We serve a wonderful Lord. We need to be reminded to serve him because of our frailties, our sinful nature. We're forgetful and we'll be distracted by the things of the world. We need to be reminded daily, and we need to teach those reminders to our children, and we do it for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. Y'all have been very kind with your attention, and my prayer is that the Lord will richly bless each of you.